You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. We first saw our passenger's cheeky face back in 2009 when he sang his way into the finals of the X Factor. He's at number one after number one. And he's touring next year, and his brand new album, Marry Me, is out on December the 2nd. Please welcome on board the voice judge and everyone's favourite cheeky chappy, it's Ollie Burns. This is the final boarding call for passenger Ollie Burns. I repeat, this is the final boarding call. Ollie Burns. Thank you. Look who we've got on board, it's Ollie Murs!
Woo!
What makes...
thought there was going to be a cheer there, Al.
No, it's not chatty, man. No, oh, it's just not... me and you.
Oh, it's just me and you.
So tell me, why did you choose Alan here today? Is it good value?
It's always good value being with you. Yeah. Always good fun.
Yeah. What are you like as a traveller? Because I put in Ollie Murs holiday into Google.
Oh, God.
Bloody hell, there's a few photos of you. You're always on holiday, aren't you?
I think the one that bothered me the most was the headline, Ollie looks like he's having a whale of a time.
Oh,
yes.
Was you fat shamed?
I was, proper.
This fuck it, when have you ever been fat?
No, I was. If you look in that photo...
Is it the one with the trilby?
I'm not sure. Might have been.
You do look a little bit chubby.
I was in Barbados. I remember being in Barbados on holiday with the lads. And I had a really good year.
Yeah.
I had a few number ones. I'd been doing it. I couldn't believe my luck. Here I am, yeah. Essex boy. I thought, I'm going on holiday to Barbados. Yeah. And I'm in the sea. Yeah. And I've really tucked into my Christmas dinner over that period. And I mean, the shot, look. I mean, I had put weight on. But the headline did bother me. Yeah.
That's not fair, is it? We know what it's like. We're in this business we call show. Now, we have a really tough, not tough, busy year. Mm. And then we go away, don't we, January? Because it's dead. The business is dead. But that's when I'm the fattest.
It is.
And there was one time where I was on a sun lounger and I got up and my back fat was stuck in the slats of the sun lounger. And the sun lounger came up with me. That's when I was like, Alan, you're a fat fuck.
Yes, we need to get in the gym when we get back. But you're right, the January period for us in our world is just dead. No one's doing anything. No TV, nothing. So it was the only time of year I get a chance to go away and just let loose.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I'm like, no, I can't.
You're looking great. I mean, listen, I could shave Parmesan off those cheekbones.
Shall we do that just for the podcast?
Yeah, let's do...
Why don't we try?
Let's do it. We should do it for charity.
Yes. But you know what? I've just been really, I don't know. I'm lucky I've got Amelia. She's in my life and she loves the gym. She trains a lot. And just having someone around you that is encouraging and I love training, but just having her around. I think you do when you're with someone.
Well, I dated David Gandy for a few years. He doesn't really like to talk about it. You see, I need to stop going with fatties. I need to go with someone fit.
Yeah, well, I just don't know what to say.
No, but she's inspired you.
Massively, yeah. Just inspired me to be a better version of me. And without really saying it, it's not like she sort of stands and goes, oh, shouldn't be eating that. It's not that sort of relationship.
No.
She just being around.
Well, it's not.
No, she isn't. It's just infectious.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I do want to be a better version of me. And by the way, it's not like I preach to people, like, oh, you should lose weight. It's what makes you feel better. And I feel better when I'm like this. And I'm training well and eating well. And it makes my mind better.
Yeah.
Everything about me feels... I feel like really energized at the moment. More energy than I've ever had before.
Unlike when you were in Barbados and Greenpeace were putting you in the water.
Exactly. That guy's never coming back. That guy's never coming
back. You're being really unfair. I mean, I know the picture because when I put in Google Images, I mean, I want to go on holiday with you because there's one where you're on an inflatable banana.
Yes.
With a load of lads.
Yeah.
With a bit, and then you've got your trilby on. I mean, he's having a good time.
I love a holiday. I mean, I'd be fair. I haven't been on holiday with the missus for ages, mm-hmm. but them holidays back in the day with the boys were brilliant. And I loved it all. And yeah, going on holiday is the best feeling, isn't it? You just get away. You can de-stress and... You know,
well, not when there's a bloody paparazzi following around.
I did have a row with one of them. Didn't have a row with one of the paps once. I walked over to him and had a proper row with him, and I thought that was going to get in the paper, but luckily it didn't. So
but they always get good. You when you're bending down to pick up your book or your suntan lotion, and these, like, mean you're yours, but these babies are just sagging down like a fucking couple of udders. I saw in the picture your trilby. You took a trilby. Do you still wear a trilby?
I do, but I don't know what it was. I think Bruno Mars had come out in like 2011 and he looked much cooler in it.
You look cooler.
So I got the trilby and binned it, basically. I just felt like Bruno rocked it a lot better than me. So, and then my hair just miraculously got thicker.
Yeah.
And it just got... miraculously got thicker and longer.
Yeah,
and I don't know what was happening at that point. And then I just thought, you know what, I'll just continue without the hat.
Because you're lucky. When you wear a trilby, you look cool. I look like I work at a deli in Morrison's. You know, when like, hello, love, wafer thin ham, how much?
Do you know what, though? I honestly got... I didn't want to do my hair. I couldn't be arsed to get up. And the only reason was... I'll tell you the reason I wore the trilby. It was on X Factor. And I couldn't be arsed. And I didn't realise how much the cameras were always on people.
Yeah.
I couldn't be bothered to start it. So one day, I walked past the shop on the way to the audition. And I picked up a hat and just stuck it on.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then it became a thing.
Yeah.
And so then I don't know, the trilby hat came a thing for me. So I just wore it for ages. And then I really wanted the Morrissey quiff. I always wanted the quiff.
Yeah.
And I ended up growing my hair, had the quiff. And then that was it, really. I sort of stuck for a while.
I'd love a quiff. You see, this gets all sweaty. This looks like a Brazilian.
Your hair right now.
I know, it looks like that, like a Brazilian, doesn't it? It looks like a fanny.
Oh, my God.
Because that was your trademark, wasn't it? Trilby braces and everything.
Yeah, yeah,
listen,
yeah.
You're going on tour.
Mm-hmm.
Marry Me.
Yes.
What can we expect from this tour? I know it's a generic question, but I'm always intrigued because I'm in the middle of a tour at the minute, and you always want to give. You want to give your best, and you always put on a great show. There's always singing and dancing. You always play the hits. I mean, when you're seeing other people, like, you know. Even when I go and see Pink in concert, I was like, oh, maybe at my stand-up I could come down on a bungee. Do you know what I mean?
No,
you,
I mean, that is impressive, though, isn't it?
And she sings.
I mean, that's next level. I mean,
would you ever have the bungee?
I don't think I'll be doing a bungee. A few of the fans might want me to do a bungee and see what happens at the end. Like you said, you look into it. I'm very conscious that the fans have paid their hard-earned money to come and watch me in concert as they would come and watch you. And you think, right, I need to make this as good as I possibly can and make it as special as can. So, yeah, I haven't really thought too much about it at the moment. But the fact that it's called Marry Me has given me loads of ideas.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't told Amelia this, but who knows? Could get married on tour. That'd be fun.
Oh my God. It's
not going to happen. But... I'm thinking it's got to be like the
deceptive... Cut out that bit where it said it wouldn't happen. We need an exclusive on this podcast.
It's fine. No. She hasn't even been told yet. This will be the first time. Amelia, we're getting married on tour at the O2. Just so you know, it's going to be live on TikTok. Everyone's going to be watching. Don't mind you. How many guests have you got at your wedding? 15,123. But I'm thinking a Marry Me set.
Yeah.
So I think it's got to look... Like, I want it to look like a church.
Yeah.
I feel like it's got to be fun.
Vegas church.
Could be. Maybe Elvis. Something Elvis-y.
Good.
I want it to look really Marry Me vibes. And also, play the hits, have some fun. And, just hopefully it all goes smoothly. Because I've had really bad knee problems the last time I was on tour. The first show, my knee popped. And I ended up having knee surgery straight after. So,
oh, God.
I'm hoping that doesn't happen. On this tour.
Well, you will be on one knee, but just because you're...
Very true.
Your body's fucked.
You should have seen me propose to Amelia. It was... I mean, I've got the video. It's horrendous. I get down on one knee, I propose, and then she has to help me up.
Oh, no.
No joke.
No
joke. It was... Yeah, it was like that. But luckily, she was just really happy and, oh my God, you proposed me. I'm like, yeah, in your fucking little outfit. Because I'd had surgery about 3 months before proposing. So
is it through your dancing? Is it through your dancing that it's popped out?
Pretty much, yeah. I think just years of I mean, I had an ACL problem years and years ago.
And you played football as well.
Sports. Yeah. I've always had a bad knee.
Yeah.
But then when you go to see a doctor and my surgeon looked at me and he said, I'm 50 years of age, Ollie. You've got a 50-year-old knee. I was like,
oh my
God.
What?
Is it that bad? And he was like, yeah, you need
to
get it done.
Is it the cartilage all gone?
All the cartilage, all the meniscus, ACL. I mean, can you see this bit here?
Yeah.
That's my arthritis.
Oh no. I mean, how old are you, 38?
Looks like I've got a boner in my knee, doesn't it?
Don't look now, but Ollie's knee's turned on.
I mean, look, it's just a big lump of bone.
Yeah, it looks like, yeah. Don't keep touching it, it'll come.
Here on Alan Air, we like to discriminate, so if any of our able-bodied passengers would like to make their way to the departure gate, we will start your embarkation. Anyone with a knee injury could hobble over, and we'll judge whether we can be bothered to look after you on the flight. Have a pleasant journey.
No one believes this, but I was never a footballer, but my dad always like exercise. I know you're looking at me laughing, but my dad was always like run. He'd say run around that field, and I've got my hip is really bad through running, and I don't do the bloody stretches. You got to do the pigeon
gotta
stretch.
You
got to
do
all that. And then my T-band just went, and I was going up. Do you know crouch end?
No, let me tell you, that is painful.
Yeah. And do you know how I got up off the floor?
How?
I had a French stick in my hand and I put it into this...
No, you didn't.
I fucking did. I did. I put it in this manhole, levered myself up like Gandalf.
Why did you have a French stick in your hand?
Because I come from the shops. I fancied a baguette.
I love that. Yeah. So how did you get home?
A really bad limb. And you can't... I know people sitting home going, oh, your T-band goes. But I didn't know what had hit me. It had just gone.
It is horrendous.
And you're like that. And I'm laying on the floor.
It's so painful. It's called the IT-band, isn't it?
Yeah, the IT-band. That's...
No, I like the way you... T-band.
T-band. What is the T-band?
No, but the IT-band is the most horrendous thing to pull.
And then
you have
to go on that bloody noodle, the one with the thing. Oh, that kills me. That is agony. You know the one I mean? Oh, my God. Next door neighbours wonder what I'm doing. I'm like, oh, yeah, more. But it's the old lumpy noodle.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
So you're doing everywhere. I've looked at your dates. You're doing everywhere, aren't you?
Everywhere around the UK.
Yeah. And what can we expect from the album?
Oh, the album
you're not doing any... What's the word to what you say where you're just doing with people?
Features.
Features. You're collabs. Not doing any features.
You know what? It's weird because in the past, I'd always had features. On my last record, I had Shaggy. I had...
Did you ever meet Flo Rida? Do you remember him?
I never met Flo Rida.
Because you came on chat, man. What's Flo Rida like? You would have never met him.
I never met him. I was next... I was actually at the dressing room next door to him at the... It was a gig for radio, some radio gig. Yeah. And he was next door to me. Yeah. And I remember he came out his dressing room. All right, Flo Rida, how you doing? It's Ollie. And he just went, all right, mate. And I went, yeah, we had a big song together called Troublemaker.
Yeah, number one, yeah.
And he just sort of completely dismissed it. It was just like, didn't know what had happened. And I thought, we had a massive worldwide hit with that. Hello. I'm just about to go and sing it in front of 80,000 people. Yeah. Anyway, but no, like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But a lot of featured people I've had have been amazing. I've loved working with them. But on this album, I had a couple of people in mind, but I was like, do you know what? It's actually best that the album is just me.
Yeah.
It's just my voice, me. I've wrote the songs with two or three people. It's my album.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's called Marry Me. It's fun. And I just wanted people to just listen to the music without... Oh, I'm just going to click on the album because it's a feature with someone, you know? And hopefully people will just love it because it's me. And that's not to rule out there'll be features in the future with some of them songs. So we are looking into it. You know, so we'll hopefully keep the fans surprised.
And also, what you're going to be wearing on stage? Because if you noticed, Harry Styles.
I mean, yeah, but Harry.
I mean, I can see. I mean, you're cool, good looking. You could do it. If I started wearing lime green flares and a mohair, people think I was back on the pipe.
Oh, you look cool, man. You've got your
really?
Own vibe.
I
don't knock yourself.
Really?
You've got your own. We're in your lovely, gorgeous house, and it is so cool.
Thank you, my love.
So you're
thank
very
you.
Cool.
I don't know how you got over the moat, though.
but for me. Harry's in a whole other level. He's such an icon. For me, I love what I wear, and I will always mix it up.
Because
I mean,
that's like a tracksuit, isn't
well,
it?
This is like a cohort today, yeah, and I love stuff like that. And with the album called Marry Me, a lot
it's
of the outfits...
got chevrons on it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that a posh one?
No, I wear this as like pyjamas and stuff in the winter.
Oh, well, you get a little bit dressed up for this podcast.
No,
so that's fine.
But we were talking about it off air. You can. I know, but I thought I looked smart today.
You do look smart, very smart.
And it's very casual here. It's
fun. Yeah, lovely. It's Alan Eyre.
Yeah, but Harry's like an old level. I love Harry's dress sense. He's cool as hell. And
he gets away with it, doesn't he? And that's what I don't...
You've got to be bold, though. You've got to be bold. Yeah. You've got to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
I try. But then... I always get ripped by my mates at home. Like, what the hell was you wearing last night?
I suppose if you turn up in Essex and you got like a pink, you know,
doesn't
jumpsuit
work for me in Essex,
and a fucking
no,
pair of high heels
I don't know.
On.
But I am trying to push the boundary with this record because the fact that it's called Marry Me, we're trying to use that concept and that feel of like after party. So I'm wearing like these little vests and suits and stuff like that.
Yeah,
very bougie.
Yeah. I think you should go for the Elvis kind of thing.
I'm not going to lie. When we were chatting about styling for the album, especially with my hair being a lot longer, a bit Austin Butler vibes. I did like Austin Butler.
Yes.
I do think he's a very hot man.
Yeah, yeah.
He's definitely my little male crush at the moment. When I see photos of him, I think, God.
That film's amazing.
Very great, Elvis. Elvis was amazing.
Oh,
right?
My God. I mean,
so good.
I didn't fancy it. My arse doesn't do epics. I saw it was like nearly 3 hours long and I was like, oh, God, here we go, arse. Don't hate me. Flew by, didn't it? Absolutely
oh, it's unbelievable. The whole film from start to finish. And you know, in a weird way, as an artist yourself, I really felt for Elvis and the fact, the way that he was controlled. Obviously, times have changed so much now, I think, with management. And I think a lot more people have spoken up about that recently.
Yeah.
About how, you know, being controlled in that certain way, you know, the way he was not allowed to leave America to come to Europe and just the way that he was put into Vegas. I just couldn't, like, it was really, as an artist myself, but I'm not Elvis. He was huge. He was, you know, one of the king, but like not to be able to leave. And I don't know, just seeing how he,
was exploited
in that way. And the way that he was left almost just, he lost his wife. He didn't have his children around him. He was just on his own in that Vegas hotel.
Because when I watched it made me think about his actual, you know, his eating there. He got really fat. Yeah. He was eating really badly. And you're thinking, you know, everyone thinks that the manager of you like sorts out your tour dates, but you're on tour with them and they've got to help you. And it's that side of it as well. Mental health, diet, get yourself to bed. Yeah. You're not this fucking diva. Get to bed. You've got a big show tomorrow. He's obviously just letting get fucking fat.
And me being sat with Sir Tom on The Voice, like it makes you think, like, Elvis could be, not that Elvis would be on The Voice, but, you know, Tom Jones, like how fit and healthy he is at his age and how, you know, it would have been so amazing. Wouldn't it just be cool that Elvis would still be alive now to be able to sit and talk to him and just hear them stories and hear him sing again? And you know, it's just such a shame that Elvis was treated in that way. And it was such a shame. But it was an amazing film to watch. And I think Austin Butler did an amazing job.
What
an incredible artist and star Elvis was. Like, one of a kind.
Yeah. 41's too young.
It was too young.
Right, so tell us your worst ever holiday. Worst holiday.
Oh, worst.
I mean, we're not slagging off a place because we've all got tickets to sell for tours and shit. So we're not. But, I mean, I always use this example and people actually contacted me on, because I always say, but Amanda Holden, everyone at home who listens know, I always use her. She went to Cyprus the first time and got caught in a hurricane. And then she went, I'm going to go back to Cyprus. I'm going to give it a second chance. Broke her leg on a jet ski. She went, okay, Cyprus, me and you just aren't getting on. I'm not going back there again. Is there anywhere you've been where it's always rained? You've had your luggage?
I think off the top of my head, the worst place I've ever been to on a holiday. And this is a holiday. This is not a work trip, is it?
No, it could be anything. It could be a place, anywhere.
I would say it was China.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah, we went to China recently, and I mean, my record label, like, don't say anything.
No.
But I just found it really difficult over there. The language barrier was really hard.
But that's normal, isn't it?
And I found that I couldn't really, the food was really different. I mean, and that's because here in the UK, we have Chinese food.
Yeah.
And it's not the same in China, which I get, different countries and...
Yeah,
I get that, and so I didn't enjoy China as much as I thought I was going to enjoy it.
Yeah,
but I would say the holiday that springs to mind is a family holiday that we had when we were younger. And we did a staycation with the family. We went to Birmingham and we went to the Wirral. And
you went to Birmingham for a holiday.
Well, we went to watch the Gladiators. We were obsessed with the Gladiators.
Contender, so we went.
Oh my god. That's how my dad got us in the car.
Really?
Contenders, are you ready?
Who's your favourite?
Oh, my favourite.
Do you like Jet?
No, I like Jet. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hot-blooded men.
Shadow was probably the most scariest one. But I like the wolf.
Yeah,
because
they
always do that. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf?
So do you reckon is there footage of you with the big gloves on going, yeah?
You know, there could be. But we were at the NCC, I think it was. Is it NCC?
The NEC
in Birmingham. And I'll never forget, my mum said, we're going on a staycation. This wasn't called a staycation, but this is what we call it now, isn't it? A staycation. So we decided, my mum said, we're going to go camping. And we went. So we went to Birmingham to watch the Gladiators. Then we went to... This will make you laugh. I love it. I don't even know if you ever watched the show. We went to the Wirral because my mum wanted to visit Brookside Close.
Brookside?
Yeah, so we went up to watch Brookside. And then they took us to Manchester, because we're Manchester United fans. So we did a tour of Manchester. But we camped the whole time. And what we found really funny is you wouldn't do this, right? You wouldn't do this now. But my mum and dad locked themselves in the car... They had their chairs back and they just put us in the tent next to this car and left us outside in the tent, locked us up, and went, right, see you later. We're going to have the air conditioning, the heat, and we're going to have the nice, comfortable chairs of the car. And we always talk, me and my sister always say, like, as if, as parents, you would do that. Like, you wouldn't just leave your kids in the camp site next to the car. But they were just like, you know, we didn't have much money and this was like really fun. And we absolutely loved the experience. But when I look back now, I mean, it was like three kids. We were all shouting and moaning and screaming. And we went to NEC to watch the Gladiators. And as much as we loved it, not knowing TV as I do now, we was in there for like 6 hours.
Yeah, and they don't let you leave, do they?
And then we got to Brookside Close. They wouldn't let you into Brookside Close because it was all being filmed. So everything was
a
disaster.
Isn't it a set? Is it an actual place, Brookside? Was it an actual
place?
It was.
You could go and see the houses, but it was all closed off. You weren't allowed. And that was a bit of a disaster. And then we got lost on the way back down to London because we didn't have sat-navs then. So we didn't know where we were going. Yeah. It was a bit of a disaster, but it's a good memory but also a bad memory.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Good for you for, like, you know, going to, you enjoy all these shows on the telly, you think, I'm gonna go on holiday to Brookside.
I mean, credit to my parents. I mean, I'm sure it was a fun idea at the time, but I remember it just being a disaster. I think my brother had travel sickness, so he was probably being sick on the way up there, and it was terrible in the car, so it was just probably a disaster. We always laugh about it now, but at the time, that's what we could afford.
That's
what we did.
I always say this, my best holidays were like Devon, Babbacombe, you know, raining, sitting there in, I mean, and all hearing the rain on the top of the caravan and all that, and then going to the club, having, you know, Coke and crisps and stuff like that. Amazing.
Hello, this is your captain speaking. If you look out to your left, you'll see Liverpool and the iconic Liver building. If you look out on the right, you'll see Brookside Close. Fasten your seatbelts, there's going to be a lot of turbulence, love.
Just trying to think if there's any other places that I've been to that I really, really hated. And that's really bothering me.
Neighbours set, Coronation Street set.
No, I think everywhere I've been...
Why would that Hawaii 5-0 or the A-team? I mean,
I'm trying to think of all the places I've been. I mean, I've been lucky enough to be to some
lovely... You don't have to pick a load of shit once. This is meant to be a positive experience. You're going to need counselling after this.
No, I'm just trying to think. A lot of places I've been to are great. Like I said, the only place that really surprised me was China.
Yeah, that's fine. And because you don't like the food, you're not being like...
Yeah, no,
we all go to places.
I found the language barrier really hard.
Yeah.
And we had obviously a team of people around us, and it just I just felt the food was so different. See, I went to Japan and I absolutely loved Japan. Yeah. That was really cool. China was a whole different.
Well, there's nothing place wrong with that. Yeah. It's, you know, it's called having an opinion, isn't it? You understand? Yeah, you know, and I don't want to eat those fucking chicken feet.
Exactly.
I hate them. Oh, people suck on them. I mean, yeah, but what I didn't... nutrition is in a...
No, so the thing about me... See, this is the thing. I went to the airport, right? And I was like, look, we've got, we were there for a good week or 4 or 5 days. Can't remember now. We were like, we're coming back now. And I was like at the airport. And you know when you get on a plane, you just want good snacks, don't you?
Yeah.
I wanted Haribo's. I wanted... loads of chocolate. I wanted crisps. I wanted like the whole shebang. Mm. Was it 9-hour, 10-hour flight? I'm like, and then we got a connecting flight back. I'm like, I'm going to go for it. Anyway, so I've gone into the China, into the China duty free, and I'm trying to find it. Is it duck beaks? You eat duck beaks, chicken feet, duck tongue.
Oh no.
I'm like, nah, this is not for me. This is not for me. Like I was like, I just couldn't find anything that I could eat.
Does a duck even have a tongue?
I don't know, but these snacks were very. I don't know, man.
But then someone said to me they had.
Google it. If you Google it, you'll find.
No, I don't want to. It make me sick.
It's mad. These are actual Chinese delicacies, and like, fair enough. People in China love eating them.
I know. Well, listen.
I was at the airport, and I'm like, I just want to eat a Cadbury's chocolate bar.
Well, someone told me once that they had this chicken feet and it tasted strawberry. And I wondered whether the chicken had trodden some chewing gum before it got killed.
Really? I don't know. I mean, who knows?
I don't get it.
Anyway, so
I get ribs because you get a bit of meat off of it.
Yeah.
But like chicken feet. Anyway.
So for me, that was probably the most interesting trip that really like culturally was like a bit shocking for me. I wasn't prepared for... But like you said, when you go over to Asia, and I've been to Asian countries, I kind of, Japan, like I said, was amazing. Hong Kong was cool. But yeah, China was just different.
Hello, sir. Would you like anything off the menu? No, we don't have duck breast, but we do have duck beak, duck leg, duck lips, duck tongue, duck nose, duck eye, duck eyebrows, duck toe, duck scrotum, duck off. Who gives a duck? What the duck? Hello, ducky. Not hungry. Okay, thank you.
What's been your most decadent experience, hotel-wise or anything, where you've gone, oh my God, I have made it. I am a star.
For me, it was Dubai. Mm. Yeah, I stayed at the one and only on the Palm on a holiday years ago. And that, for me, was like next level. I couldn't believe the service. I always feel like, you know, that's how you... Doesn't matter. I don't care what hotel you're in. It's the service, isn't it? And for me, I think anyway, because you can be in the best hotel in the world, but if the service isn't great,
yeah,
you just feel a bit like, well, I don't want to come here again. Yeah. And so for me, the one and only the Palm, I went online and found it and I booked it, and the whole facility was great. They had like in Dubai, if you've ever been to Dubai, when you know every hotel has like 4 or 5 restaurants. They have great pools. The people just can't do enough for you. Mm. The breakfasts are incredible. Lunches are great. Everything's just brilliant. I mean, and you obviously have to pick the right time of year because the weather is...
Well, we had Jamie Redknapp on it. He went the same place as you.
No way.
Dubai for New... Was it, I think it was the same place. New Year's Eve. He said, but he hates fireworks. I mean...
What? Well, they do the drones now, don't they, in Dubai as well? Oh, do they? It's pretty cool. Same different.
He said, I hate fireworks. I said, well, why'd you go to Dubai, one of the best hotels in the world, on New Year's Eve?
Well, it must have been his partner at the time.
Or
his new partner. I know. Been like, this is where we're going.
I know. But if you hate fireworks, I wouldn't go there on New Year's Eve, would you?
No.
Especially if you're a dog. You'd be shitting yourself. Do you complain at all, Ollie? Do you ever complain?
Don't.
And what's it about you
don't? I'm not that type of person. I don't know.
Okay, say you go in there, someone's been smoking in your room, it's smelly room.
See, I'm not that fussy. I really ain't.
Sleep in a smelly room?
See, now I'm... I don't know. See, I'm
near the lift. You've got a big gig to next day and they've put you near the lift. Ping, ping, ping.
Honestly, on a serious note... Oh, that's a serious note.
This is the kind of banter you can expect on the Marry Me tour.
I would never moan about stuff like that. I think because of how I've been brought up, I just get what I'm given. And for me, going down and complaining about some of that, I'm not that type of person. I would just go, yeah, whatever. This is it.
Wow.
I know. I think if I was with...
You order a burger and a load of duck tongues come up.
Oh, okay. That's a whole different level. Yeah. If the food...
got you, Ollie. Not so nice. not Mr. Nice Guy anymore.
Yeah, well, if it comes down to food, if I've ordered burgers, I get duck tongue. Yes, there's an issue.
You should complain.
No, for me, burger, yeah. Food probably, yeah. But I think now that I'm with Amelia, if she, you know, I think that if we turned up somewhere and she wasn't happy, I would go, okay, I'll defend you, darling. I'll go down there and say a few words. And then I would go down to reception and go, look, the missus isn't very happy with the room. Oh, I'm really happy with it. But, oh my God, I did that recently. I've got to tell you this story. So I went into the one, this is completely off subject, right? But I would do this at the airport. It's not scary. I went up to the missus and said, oh, I really need an Imodium. I've got a really bad stomach. This is at the weekend. She went, all right, well, we pulled over to the shop and I went, I need to get an Imodium. She goes, all right. I walked in. I said, the woman says, you got any Imodiums, Pete? I couldn't see him. She goes, oh, no, I haven't. He goes, oh, you're all right. I went, oh, no, it's not for me. It's for the missus. She's in the car. She's too embarrassed to come in. Oh, my God. So anyway, I've got these Imodiums. I've come out and I've told Amelia the story. Well, she was mortified. I can't believe you just told the woman in the one stop that I've got a bad stomach and I've got the shits. It's you, smelly bastard. I couldn't stop laughing. But anyway.
And tell us about, have you ever had a holiday romance when you were younger?
Oh.
We don't have to go into details, but did you one of those kids that fell in love easily, you know, after the week of the holiday, you'd be like, got to go, and there's some like young
girl.
I
tell you something that was, I actually flew, when I was travelling to Australia in 2008, I was flying over there for a girl that I really liked.
Oh.
And I heard that she was over there, and I was going over there for myself anyway, but I was like, the fact that she was going to be there, I was like, it was going to be like the macho man. I was going to turn up, tell her I loved her, and that, you know, she was the one for me. Yeah. And when I landed, and she'd been over there for months. Yeah. When I landed, I found that she'd got the plane the next day home.
Oh,
so
no.
She must have heard I was coming, because I genuinely had this whole speech lined up. I'm coming over to see you. So she'd run a mile. No. But that hurt. That stung a little bit. But I don't think I've ever had a holiday romance. I mean, you know, I've had a kiss and a cuddle. You know, I've pulled a few ladies here and there.
But there hasn't been the one. I know obviously you're with, but I mean, you know, when you're younger and you're pining.
No, when I was younger, I mean, we went on a few holidays and met a few girls and that, but not, it was never like a holiday romance in love. But that was probably the only time that I was like flying to the other side of the world to tell that person that like, I've made this effort for you. You're the one.
Oh.
And then I never had that chance to have that conversation.
How wild do you go on holiday? I mean, I'm a bit like, I can be a bit slaggy. I mean, do you karaoke, skinny dip? Will you do all of that when you're on holiday?
I would never skinny dip, no.
Not even in the dark.
At night time, maybe. Yeah, I may have done that.
Even I skinny dip.
But I'm scared of the sea, so I'm scared of the water. I mean, maybe in the pool, maybe. Yeah, I'm scared of the sea. I'd be like, I'm not sure about that. It's only because I heard a story once about this guy that went into the sea at night time, and he went for a wee, and when he went for a wee, he felt a shot. He didn't know what it was, and anyway, a couple of weeks later, he had to go to the doctors because he had a bit of a swelling situation downstairs.
Oh, I could do with that.
By the way, this isn't me. Don't think this
you
is my
liar.
Story. This is not
and
me.
They found his trilby on the beach.
Anyway, he'd found a fish had lodged itself inside of his
urethra.
Yeah, inside of it. And it was like this.
Oh, you liar. You
no,
liar.
True.
It is
true.
It's you.
It, when you're in the water, if you urinate in the sea, they get attracted to the heat.
Oh, this is an urban myth.
And the fish
Bullshit.
Was like this. Stuck to the chamber of the...
Chamber of the shaft.
The shaft of the...
How big did it go, though? Because I might need
No, just
to
be careful. If you ever go skinny dipping and you decide to go for a wee at night in the sea, if you ever feel a little pinch, you know what's happening.
But then you get...
Hello, Alan. Just be careful what goes
like in a lift. It's like,
hello, mate. Be careful. It's true. I googled it afterwards. I was like completely freaked out. So I'll never ever wee in the sea ever again. No, but no. I listen. I have fun on holiday. I eat everything.
Yeah, good.
Holiday, I eat everything. I binge on everything.
Will you have those goldfish bowls? I do them.
No,
I'm not
by the way, the worst experience I had with a goldfish bowl was in
I weed in it and a fish went up my urethra.
I can't even tell
you.
Hello,
it's me again. No.
It's been a while.
Yeah, no.
The first time I ever had a fish bowl.
Yeah.
So
I tell you
actually one of my worst holidays again.
Okay.
This is another story.
Another one.
So I got number one in 2010 with Please Don't Let Me Go. Just come off X Factor, huge number one, buzzing. I've just beat Katy Perry in the charts with Teenage Dream. Couldn't believe it. Decided to book a holiday with the boys to Malia on a lad's holiday. Oh, well. I mean, shit went down. Bad. Loads of... I mean, it was like In Between Us. It was a lot.
Oh, my
You
God.
May as well watch In Between Us because it was in Malia. So you see the strip. The strip of Malia goes round and there's loads of bars. And, I mean, I saw some mad stuff that I can't even repeat on here.
No.
And we had a mad time, me and the lads. We couldn't believe it. And that was when I had the fish bowls. But in the newspaper... I never forget, I came back from the holiday and every single story was true.
Oh,
and
shit.
I'm on the phone call to the Sun, the editor of the Sun. And he's like, hello, Ollie, sounds like you had a good holiday in Malia. just want these to run through a few stories we've been told. And I'm like, oh my God. And in my head, he's going, blah, 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 blah. I went, that's true. That's not true. No, that's a lie. We were doing fish bowls and them things are deadly. Because you're drinking them. It doesn't taste like alcohol.
No.
It just tastes like you're drinking squash. And we all sat there with a straw. I mean, you wouldn't do that now.
No.
I mean, you would all got these. Everyone's got a straw in a massive bowl going.
Oh, hello, COVID.
Yeah, I mean, COVID. I mean, we're all just like.
COVID party. I
mean, which one was my straw again?
Who cares?
So we were drinking all sorts. And then, you know, things were, you know, it was a lad's holiday. So you can imagine the stuff we got up to. But yeah, that was probably one of the. I came back and I genuinely thought like, oh, my career is over here. Like,
whenever that happened, did you ever get a phone call from Simon going, Ollie, what are you doing?
Well, you know,
I've seen you with
us. You must have spoke to Simon.
Yes.
He loves all that.
Oh, I know.
Simon was like, Ollie was like, oh, you're a young, free, single pop star. You know? What's the deal? Who cares?
I know. He is,
you know,
like
just
that,
live your life. And that's kind of, that's how I felt. But obviously at the same time, I was so naive back then that I almost forgot who I was. And you then realise when you become a pop star and you become a celebrity or you're on TV every week, you just have to be a bit mindful of some of the things you get up to. And I just realised after that trip, I was like, I can never do this ever again.
No. You got it out yourself.
So I booked Vegas the year after. Celebrated over there. And then more stories came out. You know, it's just... I started to realise that, you know, I needed to start thinking about what I was doing.
Of course.
But the reason that was...
You know what? You were young. You just had a number one. This is what you've dreamed about. For God's sake, you can't be too hard on yourself.
No, it wasn't. And by the way, anyone in my position would have done the same.
Of course.
It was just... It was that amazing feeling of, like, I had the best holiday.
Yeah.
Loads of... Can I tell you one more quick story?
Of course you can.
There was this guy. This is a funny story, actually. So there was this guy on the island that kept tweeting or Facebooking really bad stuff about me. So Ollie Murs walking around the island thinking he's this and that. He's fucking this person. He's a twat and saying all this bad stuff about me. So one of my mates found it because his girlfriend had sent it to him. And he said, we're going to have him. I said, yeah. So I said, we'll have him. Yeah, he can't be saying that about you, Murs. And I'm like, yeah, let's have him. So anyway, we found out who the guy was. And he was proper spouting his mouth up about me. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to confront him about it. Yeah. So on the last night, we all wore, typical lads, we all wore the same outfits. We hadn't got these blonde wigs. We all wore these big, long blonde wigs. I'll send you the photo. We're wearing these swim shorts and we're wearing these grey All Saints tops. We've got flip-flops on and we all look the same. We're walking down the high street of down the strip of Malia. And we're like, where is he? Where is he? He's over there. Right, okay. Right. So you go over there. I'm going to confront him. And if he gets the better hand, because I'm really angry. He was really nasty. He was saying some really horrible stuff about me. And I thought, he doesn't know me. I don't know him. But how has he got the right to slag me off? So I thought, no, I'm going to confront him and see what he's got to say for himself. So I'm like, you go stand over there. I'm going to walk over to him. So I walked over to him. And I've gone head to head with him. I said, oi, you. I said, you fucking stop spouting shit about me. You don't fucking know me. And as I'm giving it to him, these group of lads have walked past and they've grabbed my pants, my trousers.
Oh, no.
And they have gone wallop. And I'm there, butt naked, cock out, arse out, pointing at this guy. All you can see
that
is...
That showed him.
Yeah. Don't you fucking do that again. And there's me waddling off in my truck. Honestly, if I was... And when I got in the car back to London, I got off the plane and obviously the editor of The Sun had run me
Oh,
up.
Not again. You must have
been I was just dialed. Pleased. All I kept thinking was, if they have a photo of me with my pants down in the middle of Malia having a row with some guy, this is going to be... This is horrendous. But yeah, that was a funny story.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, listen, we're just about to land.
I've never, ever told that story.
It's an amazing story.
But you know what? Funny thing is, if this was now, that would have been on TikTok.
Oh my God,
I'm just thank my lucky stars that because one of the lads must have gone, oh, I'm going to go and Paulie merge his pants down.
You film it.
And
if
someone would have been filming it, so I'm very lucky that never went out anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a whole different thing.
I mean, I'm not embarrassed by anything I've got down there anyway.
No, of course. Why not? Show it off in the strip.
This is your captain speaking. We are on our final approach to our destination. Cabin crew, get ready for landing. Cabin crew, get ready for landing.
Right, okay, we're just about to start our descent. So we've got time for a quick fire quiz.
Ooh.
Mozzie guard, no thanks, I'm hard. Do you have the mozzie?
Shh.
Or do you not bother with it?
Nah.
Did they not bite
Never.
You? Okay. Taj Mahal or Taj Mahalo? I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Oh, Taj Mahal.
Yeah. Hal.
What?
I didn't know. No, it just makes sense. It's just stupid.
Okay.
Thong or sarong? What do you wear?
Oh, I'd wear a sarong, yeah. They'd all hang out.
G&T or chamomile tea?
Oh, G&T.
Speedo or I ain't no hoe?
I would wear Speedos.
Okay. Karaoke or just leave me be?
Oh, that's a toughie. That's a toughie, that one. I'd have to say, yeah, I'd get up on the karaoke. I'd always have never sing my own song.
No. Okay. But that's good because you want to be on the strip.
I've never
sing
my own song.
And you've got your trousers around your ankles naked singing your own song. With a bucket with those fish poles.
By the way, there is another story about me going into a karaoke bar on that trip. No, and I ended up having a fight with the bouncer. Yeah,
oh, no.
That got in the papers. So I was trying to smash the door down. My mate grabbed me in a full Nelson, and I'm going, you fucking, it's karaoke. And there was a video on The Sun. They actually had that video. They set me up. I bowled to this karaoke bar at 3:30 in the morning. And we was like, it's karaoke, it's, whatever night it was. So I walked up to the door, and as I went to go through, the guy stuck his arm out.
Oh.
And he said, you're not allowed in here, mate. I was like, why? It's open. He went, no, we don't let people like you in here. I said, what?
Oh.
He goes, yeah, you know who you are. He said, we don't let singers come in here that think they're pop stars. And I was like, mate, really?
No,
it's a karaoke bar. Why are you being a dick for? And he shut the door in my face. Well, I've seen red. So I've grabbed smashing this door with my foot. And then my mate comes up and goes, oh, Ollie, calm down. Grabs me like this. So all you can see is me going,
fuck you, open the fucking door.
And my mate drags me onto the main road. I'm getting fucking And I was like, So the Sun said, we've got this video of you. Yeah. We want to know why you're trying to smash the door down of this bar.
Yeah.
And all you can see is this guy's face by the mirror going,
oh, no.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to fuck it. Anyway, they put Benny Hill music on top of it, didn't they, The Sun? You can see me going down the high street backwards going,
it's
true story. Anyway, so I would always go to a karaoke bar. And
yeah, fantastic. Thank you so much, Ollie. That has been so much fun. I want to come on holiday with you. We would have such a laugh.
We would have a laugh. There'd be some stories to tell.
Can you imagine the TikToks? Wow, we'd never work again. Thank you, Ollie. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you for flying Alan Air. Oh, Ollie, I love you. That was brilliant. Thank you so much. Good luck with the tour and the album. Next week, we have the magnificent Paloma Faith. You do not want to miss that. And don't forget, guys, love me.